You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Finally know what happens, the conclusive chapter, the last one they'll ever make.
I wish.
I kind of hope it ended on a thing.
The Despicable Me trilogy, and then one.
An interlude.
So it's like Star Wars. It's got its Rogue One.
Yeah, everyone compares Rogue One to Minions all the time.
Yeah. It's about a team of people trying to steal something. Yeah, it's the exact same movie.
Yeah, and it ends with two of the Minions holding hands on a beach when a blast wave comes and takes them. Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
Man, spoiler for Minions.
Damn it!
So Sandra Bullock's in it. Well, we're not talking about that movie.
Full disclosure, I did not actually see Despicable Me 3, so I'm more here to get this conversation started.
What did you like of the other three?
Actually, I thought the first one wasn't that good because Mastermind was much, much better. They came out the same
like
year.
Megamind?
Yeah, sorry. You know, it's all mind
Will
something.
Ferrell, Tina Fey.
But I liked Despicable Me 2 okay. I liked Minions okay.
I think out of this room, I might be the one who likes them a little the most, I guess. I'm not really sure about your...
This is Aaron. The Despicable Me movies, to me, like, they're not great. They're not bad. They're just kind of there. And I was actually talking with Michael before the movie started. When I signed up for this, I was thinking, I remember Despicable Me 1. I remember Minions. And I'm pretty sure I saw Despicable Me 2. But good Lord, I cannot remember a single thing about it.
I explained it to him in detail. Like,
I know Gru became a good guy. And he got married?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Aaron
brings up a good point. We haven't introduced ourselves.
That's Aaron. The loud one here is Mike.
I am very loud sometimes.
And Ian here.
Hey,
y'all
how's
might
it going?
Know as well from the...
The Fairly Odd Parents.
From Double Toasted, of course. What are your shows on Double Toasted that you do?
I'm on Sammy Ain't Seen Shit, and I just kind of float around the other ones.
You're also part of our Twin Peaks crew, except for this most
except
recent
for this
show.
The most important episode, yeah.
Somehow it made more sense than this movie.
You're not wrong, because I only saw the first Despicable Me like when it came out, like six, seven years ago, and I hated it. And I didn't see Minions. I didn't see Despicable Me 2. So when this started, I was like, I don't know. He's a good guy now. All right, I guess we're doing this.
I actually remember it pretty well, so I guess I'll just explain what's going on.
Please do.
So Mike with the synopsis. Previously on Despicable Me.
Yeah, after the events of Despicable Me 2, Gru is now married to Lucy, who was a secret agent that he ended up working with in Part 2. And so now he still works for the Anti-Villain League. And so... He now has an arch enemy who's called Evil Brad?
Bad
Brat? Something like that?
It's Trey Parker.
It's Trey Parker trying to not be Stan Marsh.
Balthazar
Brat or whatever. I can't remember his name because he was terrible. Not as a bad guy. Actually, yeah, no, he was terrible. But after failing to capture him one more time, they both get fired from their jobs. And so Gru ends up finding out that he actually has a twin brother. And so... Another plot begins because of this.
That Steve Carell had to fight for a second paycheck?
Yeah, and Steve Carell was like, I can be Steve Carell, but differently. And everyone in the theater was like, what? But then, and then another plot happens in the middle of this movie, where the Minions decide to quit, and then they just leave. And then there's another plot in this movie involving Lucy trying to be the mom for the daughters. And I think there was another plot, but I don't remember what it was about.
There was also...
Oh, the other plot is basically... is the unicorn thing. Yeah.
Then
there's another plot that's technically another plot because it's Balthazar's plan. So that's like six plots. I just realized this.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I mean, is that the main problem here? That
there are too many plots.
Too much going on? And or is it just not funny?
In a weird way, it's like a combination of the two. Like, because the movie can't settle on what it actually wants to be about, like, it can't really, like, build up any sort of, like, comedic momentum and actually let jokes land. Instead, it's just like, let's just throw as much stuff at the wall as we can, because then, you know, in 2 minutes from now, then we'll jump onto the next plot, and then 2 minutes after that, we'll jump onto the next plot.
He is totally right, because there are whole sequences where it's like, hey, this joke's going to come somewhere, and then it just doesn't.
Yeah.
And then they immediately go to the next plot, and then none of it's just funny, really.
I realize this may be, like, the worst thing said about this movie tonight, but I was driving over here, and I realized it's kind of like the Friedberg and Seltzer parody movie.
Oh my God.
Jesus. Okay. But I'll tell you, film.
Because it's the most 80s thing that ever 80'd. Everything is 80s. There's VHS tapes. There's a flux capacitor.
Rubik's Cube.
There's a Betamax joke.
But yeah, the kids love those Betamax.
Yeah, they love Betamax.
That's the thing, is that every time
the thing is what he's saying, what Aaron means is that every single 80s reference is just here's an 80s reference, the same way a Friedberg and Seltzer movie does.
And it felt like it was a bone there that they were throwing at all the parents, and honestly I felt bad every time for the parents. I felt bad every time they dropped an 80s reference, because I was like,
and the kids didn't laugh once.
Yeah, the kids didn't laugh, and the parents
so
had that
them.
Yeah, the parents had that like half hearted I recognize that. And
I
then
remember
they went
that
back,
song.
Yeah, and then they went back to being miserable.
Out of their stupor long enough to go, is VH1 on?
Well, I was telling him before we started recording, there was a family sitting right next to me, and the dad like so did not want to be there. And every time they made like a really cringeworthy joke, he would just slowly turn his head and look at me like with this look of like, I have an excuse to be here. What the fuck are you doing here?
It's like putting in an Amber Alert on his phone.
Yeah, exactly.
So the main actual, I guess the main plot that takes over the most of the movie is his relationship with his brother. Because his brother wants, his brother like says that the dad was actually a supervillain or something. And so he wants to learn how to become a supervillain. And Gru immediately says no, because like,
he's not a supervillain anymore.
Yeah, he's not a supervillain anymore. But then he's like, you know what? Let's just randomly steal the diamond from the other plot.
Really?
And then that connects to the other plot.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're pretty much just like, hey, let's
like
just go be bad guys now.
Yeah, plots just sort of connect after a while.
So okay,
for like no reason.
Here's what I'm confused about. You said when you were talking about, okay, his enemy was Balthazar.
Randy Marsh.
Trey Parker's South Park role.
He's just
Randy
Marsh.
Then you said they both got fired?
No, him and his wife were fired.
Oh, him and his wife were fired.
Yeah, Steve Carell Prime got fired.
Okay. Yeah, his brother from an alternate reality has hair, basically. Earth 2 grew, basically. He's rich, and he owns, like, a pig farm in this island or something.
It's very weird.
But it turns out the pig farm is actually just a front for the supervillainy that his dad used to do. And so he's a terrible villain, and his dad was disappointed in him or some shit. I don't fucking remember.
This movie has way more pathos than it should.
There was like, there's a lot of random pathos in that for something that makes nothing.
Which lasts for about 5 seconds before it's immediately resolved.
Yeah, and then like,
before someone's like, look, a Rubik's Cube!
Yeah. Me trying to explain this movie is like watching the movie. Because I'm trying to figure out how to end their plots in the middle of these and somehow make it make sense.
See, you make
the movie didn't do that for me, so why should I do it?
See, the way I looked at it, like, Balthazar Brat.
Balthazar Marsh.
He has, like, 4 scenes in the whole movie. Like, he's almost a bit character. Like, the real story is actually this, the two brothers trying to reconnect and fool around and have fun, but randomly, they'll just be like, oh, hey, and here's Balthazar for one scene.
Yeah.
Here's his evil plan.
And
then
a
goes
CG
back.
VHS tape from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's like 80. Yeah, this is like all of his scenes. And there's no real explanation for most of his character. Like, the explanation is, like, in the beginning, it's just he was an old 80s kid TV star whose show was canceled because he hit puberty.
He was Corey Feldman, basically.
Yeah, he was Corey Feldman, basically. Hit puberty.
If Corey Feldman became a supervillain.
So Corey Feldman.
Okay. So then he's Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, but basically.
So he decides to become, like, his old 80s show was about him being a supervillain child, so he decided to become an actual supervillain, and that's like all you get from his character. Like, period, and that's literally the first 5 minutes.
I will say, I didn't know Trey Parker was in this movie, so I had a weird moment of disconnect when the movie starts and Balthazar, whatever his name is, shows up.
Randy Marsh.
Randy Marsh. And he starts talking in Randy Marsh voice,
like,
and I kind of had
Marsh.
This weird moment where I felt a little on edge for, like, the kids in the audience. Uh-huh. Because I'm like, I know this voice, and I know the foul, heinous things that have come out of that mouth. I was like, what? What?
And into.
And,
everyone here has seen Orgasmo, I assume.
Yep.
That's the thing that freaked me out about all the 80s VHS tapes they had.
Yeah.
Is it looks so much like all the fake ads you see now, where it's kids playing and eating cereal, and then they get butchered and turned into a Cthulhu monster. That I kept expecting, like, oh, he's actually going to, like, cut their heads off.
And then Sinbad shows up.
There's a whole other subplot that I just remember that was introduced that does nothing. It's that the head of the AVL is replaced
somebody
else. Oh, yeah. And that lasts all of like 3 seconds.
Okay.
And so, shit, man, this has a lot of plots.
Jenny Slate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, who says like 3 lines the entire movie.
And again, it's another example of like when she shows up, I'm like, oh, well, Jenny Slate, she's going to be like the new sub bad for this movie. Literally never mentioned again.
Yeah, like I thought it was going to be a thing where like...
2 scenes. I don't know.
And, and one of the sequences is a dream sequence.
Yeah, exactly. One of them doesn't even count. Like, and at the end of the movie, you're waiting for them to like... Let's get back to that whole plot about them like losing their jobs and you know, like win the affection back of their boss. Never mentioned again.
Well, they just assume it.
Yeah, yeah. Like four other movies going on in this movie.
You said there's too much pathos, but I haven't heard any of what the pathos is supposed to be yet.
Okay, so the pathos, I guess.
I'm so glad that you're here, because you're taking this movie so much more seriously than the rest of us.
I don't know that there's actually... They try for pathos. Like... Yes, the two brothers are reconnecting, and we have never met each other. And yes, there's the mom trying to learn how to be a mom, which I think was one of
the better plots in there,
except for when a gypsy showed up and cursed their house.
Yeah, which was just for when the
oh my god, another plot, yeah. Another random plot.
This is like the Transformers: The Last Night of Despicable Me movies. I could say 50 different things, and they're all from the same fucking movie.
The more I think about this movie, the harder my head hurts.
I forgot she ate the guy's cheese.
Yeah,
that's why I said there's a.
Yeah, and then her son showed up and offered a pig to be engaged to her like 9-year-old daughter.
It's weird to me that this is more confusing to me than me watching 20 minutes of a nuclear explosion last night.
The Twin Peaks, last Twin Peaks episode, if you haven't seen it, made more sense than this movie.
Way more coherent. So
I will revert to, this is the Friedberg and Seltzer of kids movies.
It sounds like
stuff just happens.
I'm trying to like...
Not like, I will organize it.
Yeah.
Legitimately, I thought the physical comedy was really good. Like, there was a lot of it. The stylistic animation worked with that.
Yeah.
And so, like, I legitimately laughed and had a good time through part of it. It's just that if I thought about anything or tried to care about anything, my head hurt.
The movie did something that caught me off guard, was that they wrote the Minions out of the story, essentially.
That seems like a terrible marketing
decision. Yeah, because what happens is, well, they're not out of the story. They're out of the main plot of it.
They're in the story.
They're in the story, but that's what's the problem. Because in the first, like, you know, all of the other ones, all the Minions are very much part of Gru's storyline as well as their own storyline. They just, like, so they're mad because they're not doing villainy anymore and they know he's fired. So they're like, why don't we do villainy again? He's like, no, we're not going to do that. And so they quit. Like, literally, like, 90% of them quit and just leave. And then so it'll cut back to them, and that's where a lot of the physical comedy comes from, is from the Minions doing their dumb... Dumb shit. The problem is all of them feel like Minion shorts that would be on a DVD extra instead of a plot in any shape, way, or form. Because literally this is the entirety of that plot.
Doesn't all the Minion stuff always feel like that, though?
Yeah, but it's even more like... There's even more of a light shine on it this time, because they're literally... They have nothing to do. They're in a completely different part of the world. And it's just like... It feels like you're watching one movie and then somebody like changed a channel for 5 minutes and went, oh, shit. And then like, hit the button and changed it back.
It's like you're trying to watch Teen Titans and then Teen Titans Go starts in the middle of it. And you can't figure out why.
It's weird. It sounds like they're building a backdoor pilot to a Minions film, but they already made that.
Exactly. So they leave, they get arrested, and then they leave. And then that's it. And then it's like, okay, that's like 4 scenes, right?
And there's literally a scene where the two plots pass each other in the sky. And they look at each other and go, oh, hey! That's actually happened.
Every plot connects that way. Literally, like the first plot with the brother and then the wife connects because the wife sees something, and then that connects with the Balthasar thing because the Balthasar thing happens.
And then Peter finds out that his dad was a spy and has to go to Roosevelt. Yeah, it makes no sense.
And then you find a sled and somebody says Rosebud at the end. I don't know, but no.
How do you remember this much of the plot?
Yeah, I was gonna say honestly, like I'm kind of shocked and I'm also a little worried because. I'm really weird about details. I just watched this movie and I'm sitting there and it was like vaporware. It went in one ear out the other.
What was the bug amphibian thing that went inside the little girl's mouth?
That was the thing.
When the atomic bomb went off, that's what brought the Minions into our world.
You know, the problem is that when you said that, I actually sat here and went, wait.
Did
that actually happen? Oh,
the unicorn thing.
The Minions are Garmbosia.
my god.
It all makes sense.
They're the ones, man.
All anyway. I know is that Bug was just Cell from Dragon Ball Z in the middle of Twin Peaks, and that's all. That's my how I'm going to view that episode.
But this movie. Like, it's a collection of skits. Now, like, some of them are funny. Some of them are fun. Like, I'll admit, I enjoyed it. I did not have a bad time. But there's no cohesive story.
There's no film, no structure to it. Somebody walked into
stuff.
A script room and said, I have an idea for, like, 6 different Despicable Me movies. And then somebody was like, fuck it, let's put them all together like Gremlins 2 and make this shit. And that's what this movie is.
See, you make the movie sound way more fun than it actually is. I would have killed for the Gremlins 2 of Despicable Me movies.
That's fair. But yeah, like, there's, like, it's, yeah, somebody who came up with so many different ideas for Despicable Me movies or shorts or something. And somebody just said, hey, let's just put them all together and hire Randy Marsh to do nothing. And then get Steve Carell to talk to himself for like an hour.
You're going to make Trey Parker your villain? Make him like a libertarian villain.
Make him something. He's completely wasted in this movie. Like, every actor is wasted in this movie. Oh, other thing, they wrote out Russell Brand's character.
What?
Okay, that actually I did kind of have a half smile.
That was actually the funniest joke in the movie for me.
Yeah.
Because what they do is they just go like, oh, what happened to Dr. Nefario? Oh, he accidentally froze himself in carbonite, and it cuts to Dr. Nefario frozen in carbonite. And I laughed, and it was the funniest joke in the entire movie.
So Russell Brand was too busy to do the Despicable Me. That's very sad.
He's just not in it. Like, and they show his character like twice, I think.
Yeah.
Never says a line of dialogue.
There's no lines of dialogue. Yeah. They literally forget he's there after
a while. It's because they had to pay for 2 Steve Carells. They couldn't afford one.
Yeah,
Russell Brand.
Something's got to go.
Yeah.
Sorry, Russell. Guess you're back to doing stand-up
in this movie?
London comedy clubs. Miranda Cosgrove, which is the older daughter.
She plays Margo. Yeah.
Kristen Wiig is Lucy. Steve Coogan is the director of the Anti-Villain
League.
Who's there
for like a minute.
Who also has like 2 scenes.
I mean, I'm glad that like all these people, Trey Parker
Julie
included.
Julie Andrews?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, she's
that should be a
mom.
Crime.
Yeah.
Julie Andrews is like a national treasure making her do shit like this.
Yeah, she has one sequence as well.
Oh, well.
And
oh,
I think Martin kind of thought that one was kind of funny. But it was unintentionally funny for him, is what he told me.
Well, so that was the thing I realized, that the movie was a collection of amazing mustaches.
Because there's 2 pool boys in that part, and they're like buff of shit with mustaches.
Like,
and that's literally all he remembers.
And every character in the movie has an amazing mustache.
Except for Gru.
That's the saddest thing I ever heard.
I'm trying to make this
it's
movie
It's his
make
lack
sense.
Of mustache. Implies his impotence now that he's no longer a supervillain.
Well, his brother has hair and he doesn't.
Yeah.
And as a person who just recently decided to accept that his hair is mostly gone, it kind of hurt.
All right, well, let's go to final thoughts. Mike, why don't you start us off here? You know how this goes.
Shit. So, the more I thought about this movie, the more I started to hate it, I guess. The problem is, it's still a cute movie, I guess. There's a lot of little things to like about it here and there. The physical humor. I'm trying to think of something else.
He's like, is there anything
grasping for straws.
Steve Carell. I fucking don't know. I remember more of this movie, and it's playing in my head, and it's making me it's just making me tired. And so, the longer I think about this movie, just if you have kids and they want to go watch this, just take them. You're not gonna hate yourself unless you're really into the 80s, and then you just might. But you're just like, it just doesn't make any sense at the end of the day. And I would have to give it 5 plots out of 10.
I was literally
what's
on
gonna
Kinder Hooks waiting for your rating.
It's the weakest of all the Despicable Me's. That's just a fact.
Wow.
As a connoisseur of these.
It's the Return of the Jedi of the Despicable Me saga.
No, it's the Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones is the weakest.
That's a terrible movie.
Okay, that is an argument for... Well, okay,
we're not having
off mic, we'll have that conversation.
Just what's the worst Star Wars movie?
Attack of the Clones is the worst
one. Blood will be shed.
Record, that's what I'm saying, is Attack of the Clones is the worst one.
Ian, what do you think?
I went into this and with way less of a critical eye than you did, clearly. I mean, it was 90 minutes of, like, sugar-coated, like... Jolt Cola, you know, Steve Carell making, you know, a lot of like goofy noises and all that. These movies just aren't for me, you know? And honestly, I enjoyed more the experience of watching it, of just watching how, like, beaten down all the families around me were, specifically the parents, you know?
They're just, like, giving up.
Yeah, they're just like, please, like, sweet death, please.
At least we're not watching whatever Blu-ray we've seen 30 times this week.
And that's the thing is, I guess, you know, if you've got kids and it's, like, a Friday night and y'all are going to go to Chili's or something like that for dinner and you want to go to a movie afterwards, I guess this is a, this is the Applebee's of family films. You know what you're going to get. When you watch it, it's going to leave you.
I got food poisoning from an Applebee's once.
Yeah, it's going to leave you feeling kind of vaguely empty afterwards, but your kids will be satisfied. So, other than that, I'm glad Trey Parker got a paycheck.
Good for that guy. He needs it.
Yeah,
he needs my South Park is
yeah. Bad. I'll give this movie 2 Team Americas out of 10.
Cool, Aaron. What about you?
Well, so I really liked the physical comedy in the movie. It was a complete mess, beginning to end. Every single time Trey Parker opened his mouth, all I could hear was Randy Marsh, and it completely pulled me out of the movie. Having said that, like, I really liked the mom's plot line. That was nice.
Christian Wiggs.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like watching her try to learn how to be a mom and come to terms with that, it was still cheesy and poorly written, but it was cheesy and poorly written that I got into. I second Ian's comments that it's the kind of movie that parents can go take their kids to, and they're going to have a great time. The parents are going to tolerate it. It feels like the Cars movies.
Yeah.
Like,
now come on. Now we're having fun. That's a low fucking blow. Like, come on.
Okay.
They make all the money.
They're fun. They're fluff, but that's it. And it's just that I've seen the Laika movies. I've seen the good Pixar movies to where I know kids' films can be better. And so it just felt lazy. Having said all that, I did dig the physical comedy, so I'd say 5 shoulder pads out of 10.
So was there any 80s references? Yeah, I mean, obviously y'all recognize a lot of these. Was there anything that made you go, nah, even I don't know what that is?
They
were on the nose.
Yeah.
Softball 80 references.
And every song they played was like the most obvious, like greatest hits of the 80s, you know?
Journey.
The worst part is
the last song they play, which is a Dire Straits song. They don't even let it have lyrics. It's just like
an instrumental. Yeah.
Part of the instrumental. And then that's it.
Oh, yeah. So the climax is a dance fight.
Oh my God.
Of course it is.
Okay, so they're dance fighting, and they made it halfway through the dance fight, and I sat back and I realized that in the movie, nobody started playing music. So in the world of the movie, these two guys are dancing to complete silence. Just randomly.
Realistically, that's just, yeah. It's just a fucking mess.
The only time I want to see a dance fight is when it's wildly inappropriate in a gang movie from the 80s.
Oh. And Willem Dafoe has to be there, damn it.
Oh, God. Exactly. They did that, too.
They did that, too. Of course they did.
They did a gang that dance.
The Minions did a gang dance. Yeah. Man, oh, God.
West Side Story.
Deep sighs, everyone.
We all just keep remembering random chunks of this movie. Man, oh, God.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.